Blog Talk Radio.
Who can cheer the heart like Jesus? By His presence so divine, true and tender, pure and precious. Oh, how blessed to call Him mine. Oh, the thrills my soul is Jesus. He
brothers and sisters. This is Sister Leola, and I'm calling from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And I want to welcome my brothers and sisters to the prayer line. And I just want to thank you all for coming in and joining us. And let us begin with a word of prayer. Amen. Amen. Let us pray, brothers and sisters. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to Thee at this hour, Father, to thank You first, to give You worship, to praise You, Father, and, Father, also to honor Thy word. Heavenly Father, we as Your children, Lord, we calling upon Thy most holy name to send down Your Holy Spirit upon us, Father, that we may be able to hear and may be able to learn of You, Lord, that You will bless us and keep us from falling. Oh, Father, we need Thee, and we also need understanding. Father, as the word has coming to us tonight, Father, we pray also for understanding, knowledge, and wisdom. So, Heavenly Father, as each and every one of our brothers and sisters come tonight, Father, we ask Him that You bless them with a portion, Father, of Your Holy Spirit, that we may love You, we may love one another, and do according to Thine holy will. Now, Father, we ask Him for a blessing over this prayer line tonight, the Word of God. We ask Him a blessing over each and every brother and sister joined tonight. Father, I'm asking that You see the good works in our heart. Lord, You say that's no good, but Lord, You do see good in each and every one. That's doing Your will. So forgive us, Father, of all our sins, that we may lean upon your understanding and not upon anything that we do. So Heavenly Father, thank You tonight. And we're just thanking You for all that come to the prayer line to share their testimony and giving You praise, honor, and glory. So we thank You once again as we begin to open the line. And I'm asking for a blessing over the Word of God. And may the Word of God shine in our heart as the daylight shine. Oh, Father, thank You. Thank You for blessing us tonight. Thank You for enabling us to get on the prayer line, because there's somebody did not make it at this hour. So we thanking you, Lord, for this moment that we are able to get on the prayer line and to thank you for all these blessings that we stand in need of. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. And we just want to say thank you again, brothers and sisters, for coming on to give God the glory, because it's not for anyone else, but you are coming because he is the answer. And I'm grateful to know that my Savior that gave his life for us, and that we are able to come to him and praise him. So thank you so much for coming to the prayer line and also supporting the prayer line with your time and your talent. So we thank God for you, each and every one. And as we were saying, welcome, brother, sister, to Advent Light Prayer Line. And even all our brothers and sisters are far off, as we know now that those in Canada, I don't remember all names. I'm going to have to write it down. But brothers and sisters, we welcome you too as you are on the line to listen to the word of God. Thank you once again, and may God bless each and every one of us tonight. Amen. And brothers and sisters, as we're going to open the line for the first reader, amen, and he's going to bring us a reading from Isaiah. That is, Brother Rick will bring the first reading, and then Brenda will bring another scripture. Amen. So we're going to open Brother Rick's line. Amen. Brother Rick, your line is open, and you're going to bring us the reading from Isaiah chapter 28, verses 1 through 7, I believe. That's just, I have to get my notes. Amen. You can go ahead, Brother Rick.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line and for hosting tonight, and just a welcome to all of our listeners. And Sister, you had told me Isaiah 28, 7 through 10 when you had called me earlier, so I just want to make sure
I'm reading the right thing. I'm sorry. Yes, yes, that's it. Isaiah 28, my pages had turned. That's it, Brother Rick.
Okay.
28.
Okay. 28,
me,
7 through
get,
10?
Let me, 7 through 10. I have the number 28, but I didn't complete. So hold on just a second. Yes, 7 through, yes, that's correct. That's correct.
Okay. All right. So, brothers and sisters, Isaiah 28, starting with verse 7, but they also have erred through wine and through strong drink, are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts? For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we're going to have one more scripture from Sister Brenda. And brothers and sisters, we are going on the line of what Brother Akeem is going to be teaching. I'm hoping it fits. So Sister Brenda, I will open Sister Brenda line. But first, I want to thank Brother Rick for giving us that reading, because we all need to give God word line upon line, precept on precept. So Sister Brenda will read the next scripture. So, Brother Rick, I will close your line, and I want to thank you once again, and I will open Sister Brenda line. Sister Brenda will bring us Jeremiah 6 and verse 10, chapter 6
Good
and
evening.
Verse 10.
Good evening, Sister. This is Brenda from Houma, Louisiana. I'm reading Jeremiah 6, verse 6, 10. To whom shall I speak and give warning? That they may hear. Behold, their ears is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them that reapproach. They have no delight in it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And brothers and sisters, we are reading these scriptures because the message our brother will bring to us this evening, we know it will be that eight beasts. And we do know that God is telling us those that are weaned from milk, you know, now you are getting the meat of the word, brothers and sisters. This is no longer that we are on milk. We are getting the meat of the word. So pay attention, close attention, because this eight beast that he will speak about tonight, it's happening. It's already happening. They're coming together. So we just want to be blessed tonight and learn and understand what God is getting ready, the things are getting ready to happen in this world. So those are the scripture that I was studied, and I'm hoping it line up with Brother Akeem teaching. So I'm just thanking God. And then I was calling Sister Tamika. She's going to bring us a song, but no, not the song. She's going to give us a prayer, but we're going to let Sister Powell bring the song first. Amen? Amen? So, Sister Powell, we're going to open your line, but sometime my memory don't think. Sister Brenda, I want to thank you for the reading of the scripture also. So please stand by, and you will be able to give your testimonies and your prayer requests. Amen? So now we're going to open the line for Sister Powell. Amen. Sister Powell going to bring us a song.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Leolo, for opening my line. Good night, everyone. The song that we sing, our opening song, Jesus is Coming Again. Lift up the trumpet and loud, let it ring. Jesus is coming again. Cheer up, ye pilgrims, be joyful and sing. Jesus is coming again, coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again. Echo, hilltop, to this bull we claim. Jesus is coming again. Coming in glory, the Lamb that was slain. Jesus is coming again, coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again. Heavens of hurt, the vast wandering cure. Jesus is coming again. Tempest and whirlwind, the untemper long. Jesus is coming again. Coming again. Coming again. Jesus is coming again. Nations are hungry. By this we do know, Jesus is coming again. Knowledge increases, men run to and fro. Jesus is coming again, coming again, coming again. Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Thank you, Sister Powell, for bringing us that opening song, which is so powerful. You know, we know that he's coming again. But what did he say? We're going to see the signs, brothers and sisters. So let us be aware. So we're going to open the line for Sister Tamika. And I don't know if I remember to say thank you. I want to say thank you again, Sister Powell, because Sister Leola want to move too fast and forget to say thank you. So, brothers and sisters, always remember, yes, always remember, Sister Leola, appreciate when you come to the prayer line and And by God's grace, when the Lord asks us to do something, by God's grace, we want to do it. And I'm just appreciate that you came and were able to read or sing and pray. So I want to thank the Lord for that. Amen. And we're going to open up the next line for Sister Tanika, and she's going to give us a prayer. And sisters and brothers, I will come back. And as you press 1, we're going to open the line for our brothers and sisters, because Brother Akeem, I spoke to him this evening. He will be on at 8:15. So we want to be able to open his line at least at 8:15. But by 8:14, I want his line. I would like to open his line. Amen. So, Sister Tanika, we're opening your line. If you can bring us a prayer by God's grace for these times. Amen. You can go ahead, my sister. I'm going to mute my phone.
Amen. Thank you for opening my line, Sister Leola. My name is Tanika Preston from Pennsylvania, and I'm just so grateful to be here with you this evening on the prayer line, my dear brothers and sisters. I'm so grateful for a precious day of life. I'm so grateful to the Lord that he has blessed me with everything. Dear Lord, is awesome. He's an awesome God. He is worthy to be praised. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. I'm so thankful for the Lord because he provides everything, our every need according to his riches and glory. So I just wanted to share that with you. And I went out today, and wherever I go, I take my steps to Christ, and I've placed literature with the people in the stores, and they were so happy. They were so blessed to receive these blessed books that they can learn more about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I just wanted to share that praise report with each and every one of you. And I'd like to open up with a word of prayer to the Lord. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Father God, we thank you for this precious day of life. We thank you so much, dear Lord, that you woke us all up in our right minds, dear Lord. We thank you that you love us all with an everlasting love. We thank you that you would never leave us nor forsake us. We are so grateful, dear Lord, that you bring us all together, dear Lord. I'm lifting up all my precious brothers and sisters on this prayer line this evening. I'm lifting up Sister Powell and her precious children. Continue to bless, guide, and keep her. Bless her children, her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren. Bless all of her siblings, dear Lord. We ask that you bless her precious Jews in Jamaica, dear Lord. We are lifting up Sister Leola and her husband, Brother Ray, and her children as well. We lift up Nicole and Jarvis, dear Lord. We ask that you place a shield of guardian angels of protection around them and keep them safe at all times, dear Lord. We are lifting up Brother Rick and his family as well. Continue to bless them, Father God. We are asking that you cover them under the blood of Jesus, that no weapons formed against them shall prosper. But, dear Lord, that they will be safe in the precious palm of your holy hands. We lift up Sister Brenda and Brother John and their beautiful children, dear Lord. Continue to bless them, Father God. Strengthen them, sustain them, dear Lord. Be their rock and their fortress. We lift up Sister Stephanie and her precious Jews, KJ and Kaja. Continue to bless and walk and talk with them along life's narrow ways, dear Lord. Help them, dear Lord, and strengthen them. We ask that the Holy Spirit fall afresh on them, dear Lord, and be a blessing to them each and everywhere that they may go, Father. And we are also lifting up Brother Akeem James, as he will be our speaker for this evening, dear Lord. We ask that you place coal upon his lips, dear Lord, and let the Holy Spirit be his teacher and his guide. Give him wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, dear Lord. Help him, Father God, and bless his family and his friends. Bless his community where he is, Father God. We lift up everything, dear Lord, to your precious holy temple, dear Lord, and we thank you so much for this precious day. And we want to claim Psalms 51, verses 10 through 12. I stand in the gap for all my brothers and sisters this evening. Please create in us a clean heart and renew within us a right spirit. And do not cast us away from your presence. And do not take your Holy Spirit from us, but restore to us the joy of your salvation. And uphold us by your generous spirit, Lord. We thank you so much for these precious Bible scriptures. We claim your promises, and we always want to remember to put on the whole armor of God. So, Father God, I'm also claiming Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Today we claim victory over Satan by putting on the whole armor of God. We put on the girdle of truth. May we all stand firm in the truth of your word so we will not be victims of Satan's lies. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. May it guard all of our hearts from all evil so that we will remain pure and holy, protected under the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we put on the shoes of peace. May we all stand firm in the good news of the gospel so that your peace will shine through each and every one of us on this prayer line this evening, and we may be a light to all that we encounter. Amen. And we take the shield of faith. May we be ready for Satan's fiery darts of doubt, denial, and deceit so we will not be vulnerable to spiritual defeat. Amen. And we put on the helmet of salvation. May we keep our mind focused on you at all times so Satan will not have a stronghold on our thoughts. Amen. And we take the sword of the Spirit. May the two-edged sword of your word be ready in our hands so we can expose the tempting world to Satan. And by faith, your warriors, your soldiers, we have put on the whole armor of God. And we are prepared to live this new day and this new year in spiritual victory. So we thank you, Father God, for helping us to remember to put on the whole armor of God, because the enemy is walking about like a roaring lion seeking to devour someone. But we know greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We thank you, Father God, each and every minute, every second, every hour. We need thee. Dear Lord, we could do nothing without you. You are the vine. We are the branches. So help us to draw closer to you in these last days. Dear Lord, and I plead the blood of Jesus over each and every person on this prayer line this evening, that you will cover them. Cover them in your righteousness. Hide them all in the ark of safety and keep them protected from the enemy, dear Lord. We thank you so much, dear Lord. And we leave now in your precious care and keeping. With praise and thanksgiving on our lips, and we thank you again. We claim your promises. We stand on your promises, and we receive them in our mind and hearts and soul. And we leave now in Jesus' precious and mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Amen.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Sister Tamika. And brothers and sisters, she read the weapon of our warfare. She read Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm telling you, that is the warfare. We have to put on the whole armor of God. Amen. And as Sister Power sung this song, Jesus is coming. Sisters and brothers, it talks about if he's coming, we got to be ready. So I just praise God for the song, for the reading, for all these things that we have to have our heart right with our Savior. Amen. So now we're going to begin to open up the line for brothers and sisters, and you can share your testimony, your prayer requests, and whatever the Lord, if the Lord gives on your heart a praise report, you know, you can share it. Amen. So we're going to open the first one at press 1. We're asking you to press 1, sisters and brothers, because now is your time to share. And I'll open 985-232. You would like to share? Give me just a second. Amen. 985-232, your line is open. Let me make sure I can hear you.
Oh, I'm unmuted now. Good evening, sisters and brothers. Sister Brenda Smith calling from Hummer, Louisiana. I just want to thank God for watching over us, waking us up. Thank him for this, all these beautiful songs and reports we had just now. And I just thank the Lord for us having it in order. That's what God gave, let me see, Abraham, a law of order. It was the promise law. He gave it to Paul, but he didn't give Paul a regular order. He gave it to Adam, the order of law I studied today and this morning. And I came to conclusion it was a good study. And Adam did it correct way, but Paul was in the law of the Mosaic law, and they just was telling people shut up. And the law Adam was in was the correct law and the law of order.
correct me if I'm wrong, if this person taught me wrong, because I like to know, and because I was very interested. So I just thank the Lord. This is the order of God's law. And I really enjoyed it. It went a little further, but we don't have time for that. But y'all know it, and I'm learning. And I just thank God for the studying of that. And I thank God for us that I've been enlightened. I just ask prayer for my being enlightened family and friends. And I thank God for all of them. I ask God to fast a prayer for us, that we may continue to go strong in the Lord. We may continue this circle until God call us in, and for us just to go strong and pray for the sick, the homeless, the facilities, and wherever our family may be, friends and whatever, and pray for the ones that just a power of family in Jamaica where she can't get to. And please pray for all the youth and children, because they need prayer. They're still just chilling. They got death on their mind. They don't know no better, because they're not being taught in these millennium days. All of the people, parents that taught them back before taught them, but the parents are with the kids smoking, drinking, and whatever. So we just ask God for strength for these people to lift up a special prayer. So God bless, and we just ask God to forgive all us where we fall short. And, you know, we all fall short. So, amen. God bless.
Amen.
Us.
Amen. Is Brother John coming?
No. Not right now.
Oh, okay. All right. Amen. Amen. Well, we lifted Brother John up in prayer. And Sister Brenda, as you was mentioned, the order of God's will, you know, I'm just going to mention a few, but if the other sisters and brothers, because we do know, we want our brothers and sisters to know God's word and know, because when God gave his commandments, he gave his commandments, that was the order. He wants us to keep his commandments, because when you go from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, is that we got to keep his commandments. And that's the order he gave in the beginning with Moses. And then also, you know, when you get to Paul was teaching the same thing, but he was teaching them the point that, you know, he had to break it down to them more. But now God gave us his commandments, and that was the order that we should be keeping and teaching people to keep God's commandments, because he said he's coming back. He said the commandments and the commandments and I cannot quote that scripture in Revelation chapter, I forget the 19, I can't remember it all, but Brother O'Neill or Sister Powell may remember more of it, but we do want you to know the order of God, and the order is to keep his commandments, and that was taught in the beginning, and that's where his children went wrong. He said, if you don't keep my commandments, he said he was going to put a curse on them, and that's where we lost. You know, we don't keep God's commandments, and God just wants us to tell people about his commandments. So, but I'm going to ask my brothers and sisters, you know, definitely bring that up to our sister so she could know. Amen? Because we don't want her, if she's lacking in something, God wants us to be able to tell her correct. Amen? So thank you, Sister Brenda, for coming and sharing. And we're going to lift it all up in prayer. Amen. So we're going to go to the next caller by God's grace. Let us open the line for 631. Praise God. Brother, your line is open. 631, your line is open. Give us your name and where you're calling from.
Blessing, good evening. This is Brother O'Neill. They're coming from East Connecticut, from this Israel outreach there. I want to thank God for the many blessings that we have received there. Many people who came from out the world to come to that Bell Summit. And it was a truly a blessing. Many of the people that came inside, it was not many times, it was on the day. They were just passing by. And we just asked them for curiosity to come and check out what is going on. And they were giving away stuff to the people, like bicycle for them to ride. They're able to help them to get their health, give them health books, health products, and health literature so that they can learn to cook natural food. And the people, they asked a survey in the question, in the survey they asked, how many of you, if we will be held in something like this again, will come again and invite a friend? And every one of them hold up their hand. And after they had a banquet for them, where they provide awesome meal for them. So it was truly a blessing, and a lot of things have been said in the lecture about nutrition, about proper rest. Everything was encapsulated with the eight laws of health, and also how people back in the days of biblical times, that the diet that the Seventh-day Adventists keep, which is a plant-based diet, is actually from the Bible. And we share with them from the Bible all of the ways that God set it up from the beginning, how God wanted man to sustain on the things of nature. And the plan has not changed. In spite of the things of this world have changed, the plan of God has never changed. So it was truly a blessing. I was truly blessed to be a part of that outreach, to help direct people into the building, to invite them into the building, share literature with them. And two of the person that I actually gave a ticket to for the shake around in the back, who will pick the price for the ticket. Two of them got a bike and one got a basket of goodies. So it's truly a blessing to be there. And the impression that God has given us as his people, we have to press the momentum right now. We have come to a time in Testament Volume 9 when the whole church, not some of the church, the whole church needs to take hold on the medical missionary work. This is going to be the last straw in the gospel outreach for the people of God, because everything is shutting down step by step. We heard in the news lately that we have a baby formula shortage in the United States of America. And that is not something simple. And you know what is going on now? The big box guys are putting in their money into producing milk for babies to eliminate the original plan that God has. It's to make milk in bottles to give to nursing mothers, because they say many of them cannot produce enough milk, so they will make it for them. So you see, every plan that God comes with, you know the counterfeit by the enemy of all souls. You know that they can produce milk from any other mammals, including spider milk, and all these things. But many times people think that, yeah, this is a good idea. They don't have the interest of the people at heart. They don't. It's just a smoke screen. And people have to analyze these things and know that these people are about their own good. They're not about the good of their people, because it's all about wealth. It's all about wealth. It's not about health. You have to analyze that. But I want to share something from the Testimony of the Lord in the book Welfare Ministry, and the topic is pure religion. This is pure religion. God tests of our religion. God tests our religion. I have been shown in 35.3, she said, I have been shown some things
in reference to our duties and to the unfortunate, which I felt it's my duty to write at this time. My duty to write at this time, she said. I saw that it is the providence of God that widows and orphans, the blind, the deaf, the lame, the person afflicted in variety of ways have been placed in close Christian relationship to his church. You hear that one? Many of the people that came to this outreach that were able to meet up with was people that never been to a church ever, meaning that they don't have a relationship with a church. They despise going to a church. And we went out there and reached out to them and invited them. And they came. And I was impressed with one of the ladies that was talking to me. She quit her job because she recognized that what they were pressing her to take, she would not take it because she recognized that there's something really wrong about how you want to force me to put something in my body. And she said she started doing her research. And when she found out what was exactly happening, she told them, I'm not going to take your regular test or nothing. I'm just going to resign. And she left that job. And she's not a Christian like us who know the health message and know that we need to stand up for the principle of health than the principle of this world. So we see God has placed these people in touch with what? In relationship to his church. It is to prove his people. It is to what? Prove his people and develop their true character. It's what? To prove his people and develop their true character. Angels of God are watching to see how we treat these persons who need our sympathy, love, disinterested benevolence. This is God's test of our character. Hear that? If we have the true religion of the Bible, we shall feel that a depth of love, kindness, and interest is due to Christ in behalf of his virgin. And we can no less than to show our gratitude, for his immeasurable love to us while we were yet what? Sinners. Unfortunately, he said, unfortunately of his grace, by having a deep interest and an unselfish love for those who are our brethren and who are less fortunate than ourselves. We met some people who have homes to live. This lady says she has to be sleeping on people's couch. She don't have anywhere to sleep. So we met up on people like that, and we tried to see how we could then put help to rectify those needs. And that is what the people of God, right? What Christ is going to say when he comes in Matthew 25. He said, I was what? Hungry. He never feed me. I was naked. He never clothed me. I was in prison. And he what? He never came and visited. I was sick. And he never helped me. He said, blessed are those who help those who are sick. And so we see what is going on right now in this world. People are depressed. People feel that there's no hope. People are giving up. People are taking drugs to try to calm the stress of their mind. But we know that that will not calm the stress of their mind. Lots of people, let us look. There's a work to be done and we have to come together. Sister Leola has been crying for help in our area, in Louisiana.
Yes.
To go out and reach out to these people and help them to know Jesus Christ. How can we profess to be going to heaven and have no interest in our fellow men? If Christ is so good to us, then it is something that we should go and tell others. Come see a man, Mary, had so many involvement with so many men. But when she met the Savior and the love that Christ expressed to her, she said, come see a man. Because he told me all these things about me. Nobody else told her our greatest need. And look how much Jewish people were there at that time. Right? Look how much Jewish people that were there at that time. And many of them, they were on tradition. They were bigots because they thought that the kingdom of God was just for them. They thought that other people would never enter the kingdom of God. And that's why Jesus of Christ said to his disciples that the kingdom of God is in you. How you treat others represents which kingdom you are. That's Christ. That's what Christ is. I'm not saying that any one of us are doing that, but I'm just saying that we have to be more about our Father's business. As Christ said to his mother, can't you see that I'm about my Father's business? We cannot be about our own business. We have to be about Christ's business. And when we went there, I took some of my products that I made, my sea moss and all these stuff that I buy to give to for the business. I took some of these products and I give to some of the people who came to the event, give them some natural stuff, some natural tonics to boost their immune system. And so it's really something that we have to bear in mind, because soon what the people are setting up right now, our finance will be mean nothing soon. Because when they have the great reset, the digital currency, whatever money that we have in the bank account, when they reset that, we have nothing left. As inspiration tells us that every earthly support will be cut off. Every earthly support. And then we have to depend on God. Let us heed this call to be purposeful, to reach someone for Jesus Christ. Because the person that you know, I don't know that person. The person that Sister Leona know, I don't know that person. But we know Jesus Christ, and we have to tell somebody about him. Thank you, Sister Leona, for that matter. Keep in prayer, keep my family in prayer, and keep the people of God in prayer.
Yes. Amen, amen.
Amen,
and
amen.
Thank you, Brother O'Neill, for the praise. And we hear on the news ourselves what they are saying about the baby formula. We are seeing these things. So, brothers and sisters, we know it's time to come to Louisiana to present that information out there, because these people are dying without a cause. They don't know. So by God's grace, let us keep praying that God will send his people here, that the people can hear and understand. So that's what the word is all about tonight. Thank you, Brother O'Neill, for bringing that praise to us and what God has done there. And I'm praying that same thing, that those brothers can come down here and they will see a mighty work, because the Bible says the harvest is plenty, but the labors are few. So pray, brothers and sisters, and we're going to lift that up in prayer tonight. Amen. So thank you, Brother O'Neill. And Brother Akeem got a message that he will bring tonight that will impact this information also, what Brother O'Neill has given to us. So we're going to open the next line, brothers and sisters, because we're going to have to be on time tonight. Amen. We got 518-951. Your line is open. Amen.
Yeah, good night again, my dear beloved brothers and sisters. You know, I heard Sister Brenda was talking about God harder. God is a God who have ordered, right? And God's word, as he have given. Hold on, let me do this. And God's word must stand. God gave the first, when he created the heaven, just a short little, he created the heaven and the earth and everything that was in it. And God took time making 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, 4 day, 5th day, 6th day, and he rested. On the 7th day, He said that is the Sabbath. And we do know that that's order. And that's also a command. He also gave us it, the command in Exodus 20, right? 1 to around 12. And he goes right down. When it reaches, he says, 6 days thou shalt work, and the seventh day is the Sabbath. And he also stated that we must remember it. That is in order, right? So whatsoever God have done, what he have commanded for us, it is in order, and he's expecting his children to be in order, both with the commandment, both with everything that we do. And if we follow the word of God, right, we won't go wrong, right? Because he is the order God. Remember the story about Abram, right? Remember the story about Lot. You know, God gave instruction, and when we do not follow the instruction, there is consequences, right? So I am praying for myself that, you know, I will be able, and pray for my brothers and sisters, that we will just look upon Christ. And if we look upon Christ in the word of God from Genesis to Revelation, right, we will see the order of God. It's in the word and how we do things step by step and stage by stage. When he told the children of Israel, Moses gave them the instruction. When Moses gave them the instruction, what happened? They said, everything that God said we will do, we're going to do it. But in a moment, as they said it first, and all of a sudden, they started to do their own thing. And we saw what happened. So, my dear beloved brothers and sisters on the line, I just pray that we will be able to follow God's order. He is our order God, and he is not a confusious God. And whatsoever he wants us to do, let us really be obedient to follow him. Continue to pray for our young people. Continue to pray for the church at large. And also, as we pray for everyone already, lift up everyone. Let us be faithful, my dear beloved brothers and sisters. God is in order, and he wants us to be in order in everything we do. Thank you.
Thank
Amen.
You, Sister Powell. Fine. And I'm praising God for what he's doing with the brothers and sisters on the prayer line. So thank you. And once again, we want to welcome our brothers and sisters since we have more than joined. Welcome all brothers and sisters, even those in Canada, Japan, all these different countries. We welcome you, and we thank you for joining Advent Light Ministry, and we asking that you please be patient. There will be a message tonight, brothers and sisters, that God will bless. So please be patient and stay tuned and wait. That message will come for tonight. Amen. So we're going to open the next line, brothers and sisters. That's 518-744, and your line is open. Give us your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line. This is Brother Rick, and we were reading your scripture reading earlier, Isaiah 28, verses 7 through 10, and that's some really powerful stuff there. And as we were talking about the milk of the words, Sister, you know, we're on this line to learn, not just to converse with each other, but to learn of God's truth for us. And I'm so thankful that Brother Akeem is coming on. He is such a great teacher. But as I was considering what you had said and what we had read earlier, you're talking about the milk of the word. We are supposed to be in the meat of the word. And here it says in Hebrews 5, verses 11, starting, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. But Paul is talking to the people here. He's saying hard things to them because they need it, because they are very dull of hearing. They don't hear what he is saying. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. or everyone that is everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So the word exercises our senses so that we will discern between good and evil. Okay, so the word of God is the answer. That's the key here. But we have to read that. Otherwise, the word of God will do us no good, sister. And you had mentioned earlier you hope that your scripture and what we were talking about lined up with what Brother Akeem is going to be bringing us. And, you know, sister, there is a common theme that runs through all the scriptures, and that is Christ and Him crucified. He coming down to, the Bible is just one big love story of Christ pursuing us and wanting to save us and taking us to His heavenly home. And it does not matter what scriptures we use, they will tie in with any other scriptures that anyone else is using. So we don't have to be worried about that. You know, the word is, what does it say, is powerful. And, my mind just went blank at the moment. But the word is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting all the way down to the spirit, you know. So the word teaches us it, it shows us what we need and what we need to leave behind. So we just need to be strong in the word, brothers and sisters, and continue on. And I just thank you, Sister Powell, for singing, Sister Tomiko, for that beautiful prayer. It's just a blessing to hear all the different people participating. And I just wanted to have prayer for my daughter, Ashley. I saw her again this week. She's doing pretty well. I think that she may—I don't believe that she is using drugs again, but she still is not committing to the Lord, and she is not listening to His Holy Spirit tugging on her heartstrings. And so, I just want to keep encouraging her. So, please pray for Ashley, and I want everyone to pray for my sister Sue. I just saw her this weekend along with my parents. And she just got a job working as a cook at our academy here in New York, the only academy that we have, you know, grades 9 through 12. And actually, my granddaughter is actually going to school there right now. But they need a strong person to step in there and take hold of the food program, because they're not serving healthful food. They're not serving, you know, they're using a lot of cheese and using a lot of processed foods. And the kids like that. Of course, our sinful nature leans toward that. But my sister knows these things. She's not practicing all of them, but I've been talking to her quite extensively about them. And she realizes that, these things are true. God actually led her to this job. She still hasn't admitted that. But she got fired from her job for not taking the shot when it came around. She had worked at her job for over 16 years, and she was the most experienced one at the dialysis unit, but they let her go because she would not get the shot. So, God led her through a long way around to this job. She'd actually worked at this job 18 years ago when her boys were young, and she'll be 60 on her next birthday, so it's been quite a while since she was there. But I believe God has led her there, so pray for her that she will see God's leading and that she will take hold of that health message and introduce that to the people there, to the kids there, and help them to understand that what we eat is going to affect how we think and how we worship God. So just a prayer for Ashley and my sister and my family. I will let it go with that, sister. I appreciate you hosting and opening my line, and thank you to all the brothers and sisters for sharing great encouragement. Thank you, Sister Leola.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Rick. Thank you. Thank you for sharing with us. And the scripture, praise God, that was powerful, that we know how God's word, his word works together with line upon line, precept on precept. All the scripture is able to bring us into the, and even as Sister Brenda was saying, you know, how she was saying how the beginning and how the end, but how, but she had some of it kind of, but yes, the end of Paul writing, Paul is just teaching what already, because Jesus said when he came on the scene, Paul said, Jesus said, had you not heard what Isaiah or what this one taught, and what he said, I got it from those, you know, I taught from the old. So, and he just read, got the front there, and he read the scroll. So God is so good that he don't change his word. Oh, it's so powerful, brothers and sisters. So we just want to thank the brothers and sisters. And I want to, first of all, I want to thank Sister Brenda for bringing her her thoughts to the prayer line, because the way we learn like that. So it is a blessing, and that's how I learned a lot of things, but by saying what I believe. And then you know what? Somebody correct me, because I had it all kind of twisted, and I didn't have it right, but someone corrected me. And that's how I learned what God wants me to know, because I wasn't afraid to say or to be wrong. You know, I'm not afraid to be wrong, and if I'm wrong, I tell somebody right now, please help me. So I'm grateful. So, and I thank God for my sister, and that she's able to say, oh, if I'm wrong, somebody help me. So we thank God for that, and we're going to lift these things up in prayer. Now, we asking if there's anyone else. Sister Tamika, I don't see your hand, but I'm going to open your line. I don't know if you want to share, but I know you shared earlier. We just got about 1 minute. 1 minute. If there's anyone else want to share, we just got about another minute, and we need to go into prayer. There's someone else? We're going to go into prayers, brothers and sisters, because our speaker is bringing a very specific message tonight, and we want to be able to give him all the time. Amen? So, yes. Okay, Sister Tamika, press 1, and now we're going to have to be brief, if you don't mind. Your line is open, 272. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Leola, for opening my line. I just am so grateful to the Lord. He is so worthy to be praised. I give him all honor and praise and glory. I thank him for each and every day, each and everything that I have been through. The Lord has been with me every step of the way, and I'm so grateful that he never leaves me nor forsakes me. It's such a blessing to know that. And I just want to ask for prayers for everyone on the prayer line this evening. My prayer request is to lift up all my precious brothers and sisters on this prayer line this evening. And also asking for prayer requests for my mom, who caught a cold. She's 88 years old, but she is a faithful servant of the Lord. Darcy, so I'm asking for healing prayer for her. I'm also asking for prayer for my children and my grandchildren. And just asking for prayer for Elizabeth and Marianne, as you know. I like to lift them up in prayer. They are getting well little by little, but they still need healing prayer. So I just like to lift up the church as well, the youth, the nation, our community, and all of our precious brothers and sisters around the world in the Seventh-day SDA churches. So I thank you so much for opening my line, my dear sister. And I just love you all. And I keep you in my heart, and I'll continue to pray for you as well in my prayer closet. So thank you for opening my line. I love you all, and I thank you again in Jesus' name. I pray for each and every one of us. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, my sister. God is good. So thank you for lifting up those. Want to give a request for those prayers. And we're going to open up one more line, but brother, and sisters, I think it's Brother Eli. You need to be very brief, because I'm opening your line for you to give your request. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So,
amen.
857.
You can go ahead and speak. Be very brief, Brother Elon, because we got to go in.
Yeah, and Sister Miola, can I sing too after well, Sister Miola? Hey, Sister
We're
Miola,
just
hello.
We're just going to do a request, just a request in prayer, because we got to pray. We're going to
okay.
go into prayer. Okay? Okay? What's your request?
Okay, Sister Miola, my prayer request tonight is to pray for my mom, lift up my mom in prayer. My mom needs a lot of prayer, Sister Miola. And Sister Miola, please lift up dear brother Javel to lift up dear brother Javel that the Lord will make him be Seventh-day Adventist. Pray for brother Javel and he can go to a Jamaican church, Seventh-day Adventist. And I'm asking for Sister Miola, Sister Power, Sister Tamiko, everyone on the prayer line to lift up Brother Javel in prayer because we need him to baptize in the name of the Lord because Sister Miola, Psalms 27 says, the Lord is my rock and my salvation. Who shall I be afraid? Who shall I fear? Sister Power, Sister Miola, and Sister Tamiko, let's stay together, my dear sisters, on this prayer line. The Lord is my rock and my salvation. Who shall I be afraid? The Lord, He is good. He's worthy to be praised, Sister Miola. He's worthy to be praised, Sister Power. Sister Power, give thanks unto the Lord. Praise Him. Praise Him, Sister Power. Praise Him, Sister Miola. Do seven songs, seven prayers.
Amen.
Seven psalms. Do seven prayers, Sister Miola. Sister Tamiko, do seven songs, seven prayers,
Amen.
My dear sisters, and on this prayer line, because it's very important, Sister Miola, to do seven prayers, Sister Miola. You will feel
Amen.
Good, Sister Miola. You will feel good, Sister Power, when you
yes.
do seven songs, Sister Miola. Sister
Amen.
Power, do seven
Thank you,
songs, seven prayer. Amen.
Amen.
May God bless you
Amen.
All.
Amen. Thank you. We would do some prayers right now, Brother Eli. We need some prayers by God's grace. Amen, brothers and sisters. So we're going to go into prayer. Let us ask Sister Powell if you would offer us a prayer, Sister Powell. Pray for all the requests. Let us open your line.
Okay.
Sister
Let's
Powell,
pray, my dear
Mother.
Yes,
Amen.
I'm here. Okay, yes, brother, let us bow our head. We have some requests that we pray for already. We will not repeat the name. We have some new ones who will repeat the name. The
and,
Lord
and
knows
also,
everything.
And also, Sister Powell, it has unspoken requests also.
Oh,
Amen.
Yes. Okay. All right.
Thank
Let's
you.
Pray, my brother. Father in heaven, we, your children, come before you to give you thanks and praise for your love and your mercies. We thank you for your many blessings for the day, blessings of health, strength, protection, love, care, and also for your son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. We want to thank you for the commandment that you have given unto us, 10 commandments, Lord, that you are expecting us to believe without doubt and also to share with others. We want to thank you for your order that you have instruct Moses, Lord. And Father, we thank you. Despite of what took place with Moses, we saw just one sin allow him not to enter into the eternal rest, the promised land. But we want to thank you, dear Father. He still, while he was dead, buried, Lord, you was the one who raised him, and he is with you now in heaven. So we want to thank you. Help us,
thank
dear
you.
Father, children of God, that we will be obedient to follow your will and your command, and also your representative, ambassador, and servant to go out there in the field, in the vineyard, to search for those lost sheep, lost coin, so that we can draw them to you. So this evening, we thank you for this line. Every brother and sisters who join, sharing their praise report, testimony in songs and readings and scripture passages, Lord, and praise report. Lord, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for those who are in on this line here, Father. We may not be hearing from them, but they are viewing on the internet from Canada, Netherlands, United States of America, and other India and China, dear Lord. We lift them up to you, and we are asking you, Lord, to touch their heart, that they will become more and more like you so that they can share your message to the dying world. Father, this evening we come, not because of any good we have done, because our goodness is like filthy rags, but we come because we know we have a Savior who can take those filthy rags, as he said to us, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And take us, Lord, in that righteousness of perfection of character in him. That's the gift he wanted to give each and every one of us on this line. So, Lord, we just come to tell you, yes, Lord, we are willing to surrender everything and accept that gift that you promised us, Lord. This evening we come, dear Lord, with various reports and requests, Lord, and also unspoken requests. You know every unspoken request, Lord, the needs of your individual on this line, dear Father. And we know we have a loving Father that said, cast all our burden and our care on him because he cares for us. And he said he will hold our peace. Father, we want to thank you for these promises. Father, you said we must put on the old armor of God that we will be able to stand. And the old armor, dear Father, is righteousness, Lord. So allow us, dear Father, to be able to stand in your word, stand in your truth, that we can demonstrate that character and to share with others. So we come boldly to the throne, Lord, for Brother Rick, our dear Elder Rick, Lord, continue to keep him and allow him as he present these messages, Lord, to his friends, his family, his daughter, Ashley, Lord, his daughter who is in the academy, Lord, Father. Despite of so many years she was working, she was obedient not to take that tight joke, Lord, and we find out what happened. But God, you make a way and provide for her. So we ask you to cover her in that institution. Send your light to her, Lord, so that she will demonstrate that love and character, Lord, in the proper diet and nutrition, Lord, for those children, that those children will be blessed. And also, as you said, we have to teach the young to cook. We have to teach them to sew. We have to teach them in carpentry and agriculture and teach them all ways, Lord, so that they may know they will be the leaders of tomorrow. So this evening, Lord, we present the Brother Rick daughters, Lord, Ashley. Lord, you know everything about your daughter, and you have been taking care of her, dear Lord. The enemy is trying, but in the name of Jesus, we claim victory on your daughter, Ashley, and also her children. Keep them and guide them, mommy and the other family. And we also lift up Brother John, who, dear Lord, Brother Rick is studying with, Lord, a Bible study. Allow him to receive your light and your truth, that he too will make a commitment to follow you. Lord, we lift up Sister Tamika, mother, Lord, dear Dorothy, dear Lord, as she's coming down with a little ailment. You are the great physician. Continue, Father, to touch her and keep her and guide her. And Lord, you know we have prayed for the rest of the family already, dear Lord, all the families of Brother Sister Tamika. So we lift them up, Sister Leola family. We lift up them ready. Also, Sister Brenda, Brother John, Lord, as they go on the battlefield, you know, to teach your word, dear Father, allow them through the Holy Spirit that he will present the message to them, that they will go out and teach, Lord. And Father, we know that will bring joy in the heart of Sister Brenda and Brother John. And we pray for those precious children, those little jewels, Lord, that Brother John, Sister Brenda have, and all of them. So we ask you to touch them from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet. And Heavenly Father, this evening, as we lift up Brother O'Neill while he was on the mission field out there doing your work, we thank you, Father, for the work that you have demonstrated and the people who was touched and moved, Lord. Allow them through the Holy Spirit that their life will be changed and they will run to seek you, because you said, if we search for you, we will find you. Heavenly Father, we also lift up Brother Eli. We have prayed already for the family members, and he has actually constantly prayed for his family and his friends. We lift them up to you. We lift up every prayer request here, Lord, on this line. And we know that you have a record in heaven. So we ask you, Lord, let your will be done. We also lift up the speaker tonight, dear Lord, who will be presenting the word. Allow the word, Lord Jesus, will come straight from you, that fresh bread from heaven. And that your people who will be on this line and listening, Lord, that they will be stirred to the Holy Spirit so that they will accept your message, Lord, and things that we all are going through within our personal life, Lord, and individual self, that these messages will cut, Lord, our heart and our soul so that our life will be changed. Bless us tonight, we pray. And, Lord, we ask you, Father, for pour your sweet Holy Spirit upon us while we prepare for that fresh bread from heaven, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Amen, amen. Amen. Yes, Sister Powell, we still have a few more minutes. I'm going to lift up a prayer that Brother O'Neill had mentioned. The ministry that God will send the ministry down here to South Louisiana, and may we come out, and may they come out here and have the Holy Spirit to do like the day of Pentecost and cause many, many to be saved by God's grace. So let us pray. Brother's not on yet. Our Father, which art in heaven, Heavenly Father, as we approach the throne once again, Father, we call upon the most holy and righteous Father, the omnipotent one. Father, we asking you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, to pour out your Holy Spirit upon your sons and your daughters, Lord, that they may come out and share that word, Lord, like the day of Pentecost, Father. Lord, Father, Brother O'Neill mentioned it, and he have not forgotten. I'd asked him, Lord, to gather some men and some women and all that want to come. Father, I'm asking that you impress upon their heart, Lord, that they may come down, Lord. You know where the Spirit is needed most here in Louisiana, Lord. And so many children and people are dying, Father, and they have no one to tell them truth. Oh, Father, we need more than just myself, Lord. We need somebody out there that has a desire, as the Bible call it. He said the laborers. Lord, we need some laborers here in Louisiana. Lord, because you know that the harvest is ripe. So send your laborers, Father, that they may gather your reaping, that they may gather those that and reap what you have out in that field, Father. So please have mercy upon them right now, Lord, that they may hear your word. And Lord, and as I hear Brother O'Neill teach about the health message, so many among here is sick. So many, Father, they are doing some health things. But yet, Lord, they may not have it all together, but they are trying. So, Father, please, please send your people here that they may come out and share your word. Father, I thank you for Sister Power prayer. I second that prayer what she has prayed. Father, thank you tonight for the blessing of your Holy Spirit, of our Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you. Now, Lord, Father, as she has prayed for everything else, Lord, Lord, we in agreement. And we thank you, Father, for your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. Thank you, Sister Power, for prayer and the beautiful prayer, and all our brothers and sisters. Welcome, brothers and sisters. And I believe Brother Akeem is on now, so let us open his line. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Brothers and sisters, Brother Akeem is... Brother Akeem, I will ask if you are on here with a different number. Please press 1. But he's not. We're going to open Sister Tamika's song, and we're going to ask you to sing a short song. Get a short song for us, Sister Tamika. If you don't mind, if you can have a short song, let us let her. Amen. We're going to open your line. Can you get us a short song to sing?
Amen. Yes, my dear sister. Amen. We have this hope that burns within our hearts, hope in the coming of the Lord. We have this faith that Christ alone imparts, faith in the promise of his word. We believe the time is here when the nations far and near shall awake and shout and sing, Hallelujah, Christ is King. We have this hope that burns within our hearts, hope in the coming of the Lord. We are united in Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are united in his love. Love for the waiting people of the world. People who need a Savior's love. Soon the heavens will open wide. Christ will come to claim his bride. All the universe will sing, Hallelujah, Christ is King. We have this hope, this faith in God's great love. We are united in Christ's love. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you
Amen.
So much for opening
my heart.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Tamika. I tell you, our brother, he's running a little late, but he will be here. I text him. He will be here in just a moment. And sisters and brothers, I thank you for being patient. We have a message tonight. We are going to be speaking about that eight beasts. And brothers and sisters, if you want to understand the eight beasts. He then spoke on the seventh beast, and now he's on the eighth beast. You get your pencil and paper, and that you can take you some notes. And at the end, please, off the host cue, press 1 again, and I will see your hand up. Okay, he's on here now. So we're going to open Brother Akeem's line, brothers and sisters. But as I was saying, Brother Akeem is on the line. But as I was saying, take yourself off the host queue as Brother Akeem is bringing a very special message. I'm asking if you have any question, write it down, and you can ask him at the end. We will open your line. Amen? So, Brother Akeem, your line is open, and you may speak.
All right, thank you so much.
We offer prayers and everything. Yes.
All right. Awesome. Okay. Praise the Lord. Well, glad to be back with you all this evening. And I pray that as we study, that what we study here would make sense to each and every one of us. May our hearts be blessed and encouraged. So we'll be continuing in our study of Revelation chapter 13, the study of the seventh head, or the seventh head of the beast, the seven-headed beast of Revelation 17. We found out that there are seven heads, and then the eighth is one of the seven. And we found out that according to Bible prophecy over these past few studies, that basically, according to scripture, that the first five creatures are Babylon. The first head is Babylon. Then you have Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and then Papal Rome. That is, the fifth head is Papal Rome. And then you have France, which took the power, the civil power, away from Papal Rome. And then after France, another power was rising and becoming a world power, but it was not yet the superpower. But later on, it would become the superpower of the world, and that is none other than the United States. And what we covered last time is that it's not just the United States, but especially Christianity in the United States. All right? So as we're studying this, we're going to learn a little more about this aspect of Christianity in the United States and the part that it will play in the end time. Because what I'm realizing, as I mentioned last time, is that many of the brethren, I hear it many times in evangelistic series, that many times we touch on what the papacy is doing while forgetting, according to the prophetic narrative, that the only way that the papacy is going to rise to the power that it once had during the Dark Ages is that it has to have Protestantism render to it its civil power again. All right, so this is why as we study this, we're going to find out this aspect of what part does Protestantism play, because as Christianity within North America, as we learned last time, comes together and unites with politics, or it unites with the civil power of the United States, this concept of the separation of church and state will be done away with. And as this happens, friends, that's when it's really game over. There are many saying game over now, but it's not game over. Only when apostate Christianity within this country unites with the papacy will the game really be over. And friends, we had a time in history where that almost happened. And I'm going to read that to us today. But as we begin, let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, guide us as we study your word. Give us wisdom and understanding, and help us to gain a deeper understanding of the truths of Bible prophecy, knowing that we have a more sure word of prophecy that we need not guess, that we need not adopt, as many are doing, the prophetic narrative of Babylon, but that, Lord, we would adopt the truths that you have given to us. Father in heaven, help us to understand these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So I'm going to read to you a time when this happened, all right? So did it happen before that a Sunday law movement was taking place within our country? And it was from Christian radicals who sought to use the state to push their agenda. Actually, it did happen, and I'm going to read this to you. This quotation is originally taken from Testimonies for the Church, Volume 5, page 711 to 718. And this is what it says here. Ellen White speaking, she says, and you can also find this on Last Day Events, page 125, paragraph 1. We have been looking many years for a Sunday law to be enacted in our land. And now that the movement is right upon us, we ask, what are our people going to do in this matter? So notice, it's powerful what the situation was. The situation was strictly when they saw the Sunday law coming, that what they did was they united with other groups and they addressed the issue. They stood up against it. And friends, that, when we look back in history, what we're going to look at now was really a test run. If you think COVID-19 was a test run, friends, that was not a test run. And we found that out according to the biblical narrative, the prophetic narrative, that a test run would have to include Christianity seeking to dominate the state in order to get its way and ultimately controlling the state, as the Jewish leaders sought to control Pilate in order to enact a religious law. And so when we see this, oh, that's when we really know, when we see apostate Protestantism doing this, not the papacy. Because you remember, the papacy cannot get back to its power that it had during the Dark Ages and even more until Christianity within North America does a major work of uniting church and state and then giving the state the civil power over to the papacy again. That's when the papacy will dominate the world. So regardless of what the Pope is doing now, he may be gaining an influence in the world. He may be doing many powerful things in the world. Many people may look to him as the moral leader of the world, and all these things play a part. But friends, we cannot say things are over and it's a wrap until the United States, Christianity in the United States plays its part in making the papal system head as it once was during the Dark Ages. Now, this was happening during Ellen White's time. She says, we have been looking many years for a Sunday law to be enacted in our land. And now that the movement is right upon us, we ask, what are our people going to do in the matter? We should especially seek God for grace and power to be given his people now. God lives, and we do not believe that the time has fully come when he would have our liberties restricted. And so it's powerful. Even though she saw the test run, she knew that it's not over just yet. This message has not yet gone to the world. The things that we've been realizing since 1844, it has not yet gone throughout the entire planet. And friends, that is the pattern for us today. That's the pattern. You see, many people are looking, and they're looking at the works of the papacy. They're even looking at the works of apostate Protestantism. But for Ellen White, she knew this thing can go forward to the degree that it could unless the perfect demonstration of the gospel has gone forth to the entire world. And that's why she says here, even though she saw a Sunday law on the horizon in her time, she said, God lives, and we do not believe that the time has fully come when he would have our liberties restricted. Continuing, it states, the prophet saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Another angel, ascending from the east, cried to them, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. This points out the work we now have to do, which is to cry to God for the angels to hold the four winds until what? Look at this. Until missionaries shall be sent to all parts of the world and shall have proclaimed the warning against disobeying the law of Jehovah. This is taken originally from the Review and Herald, Extra, December 11th, 1888. So in the 1880s, late 1880s, 1888 onward, Ellen White saw this agenda that was happening in the United States, which, by the way, was a movement, an initiative by Senator Blair. Senator Blair's Sunday Law Bill, many of us may have heard of that and may have known parts and pieces, or actually the whole of the history that took place at that time. A Sunday Law was on the verge of being passed. Notice what she says. This thing can go forward. Why? Because missionaries have not been sent to all parts of the world, and the warning of the three angels' messages, especially concerning the law of Jehovah, be carried throughout the entire planet. The law and the gospel have not yet been given to the entire world. And it's not just been given in voice, but a demonstration has not yet been given. And so this is powerful. This tells us the outline of the prophetic narrative and how we should be looking at it. This is why I think last week I mentioned the first thing that I'm looking at in the prophetic layout and the more sure word of prophecy is not the Pope. It's not even apostate Protestantism, and it's not even the church. The first thing I'm looking at is Christ. Because as the church beholds Christ, our righteousness, this is what I'm looking for, friends. in many ministries, and I'm not saying that I've arrived there. I'm very extremely far from it, because I know how easily I can be influenced as a human being, that if I'm not vigilant, I could be influenced by other ministers and other teachers who their ministry is solely based on talking about the beast, on talking about the papacy, on talking about the Pope and every single thing that he's doing, and talking about Protestantism in North America and everything that it's doing. Friends, I can be led astray very easily. But what God is helping me to realize as I look over our history is that there is a pattern. The pattern is that when the message of righteousness by faith was proclaimed, in other words, Jesus was now uplifted and his righteousness to us, and the result was a revival began to take place within the church. And the result of that will be that our hearts will burn so much in us for our fellow man to hear the message of salvation, that we will then go forth to every part of the world to give the demonstration of the gospel, not just proclaim it, but give a demonstration of this message. And so that's why the first thing that I'm looking at with any ministry, including my own, is what is the foundation of my ministry? The ministry that God has called me to do, is the foundation of it calling out the church? Is the foundation of it going and calling out Ted Wilson and other leaders and other people in the world and exposing the Illuminati and the Freemasons? Is this the foundation? Is this supposed to be the foundation of the ministry that God has laid upon me? And friends, what the Bible and the spirit of prophecy reveals to us is that there is a message that swallows up all others. The message of the law and its relation to the gospel. And the gospel and its relation to the law. The message of righteousness by faith. That is what every ministry should be founded upon. Sadly, many have wandered from that. And the result is, first thing that they want to talk about when they make their videos is about what everyone else is doing wrong. And they don't even know how to introduce people to the first steps of salvation in Christ Jesus. So people may hear all about the beast and its image, but then when they die, they are still lost because they never knew what it meant to have a relationship with Christ and to receive his character into their lives, to be justified by faith. This is the message that inspiration tells us swallows up all others. And every other thing that we talk about must be related to that message. The law and the righteousness that is seen in the law, and how we get that righteousness, not from the law, but from Jesus Christ. Ellen White says, nothing is going to go forward until that message is given, not only in proclamation, but demonstration. Notice, I'll read it to you again. She talks about the four angels holding back the four winds. And then she says, this points out the work we now have to do, which is what? To cry to God for the angels to hold the four winds until missionaries shall be sent to all parts of the world. In other words, do you see what takes precedence? It's not the Sunday law and its passing. It's the gospel message being taken to the world. And she says, for God, it says, this points out the work we now have to do, which is to cry to God for the angels to hold the four winds until missionaries shall be sent to all parts of the world and shall have proclaimed the warning against disobeying the law of Jehovah. So the Sunday law can't come unless that message and demonstration has been given. And this is so vital. But friends, once this message has been revealed and men turn their eyes upon Jesus to receive the righteousness that is seen in the law, because the law cannot give righteousness, but it is our schoolmaster, according to Galatians, to point us to him who is our righteousness, that is Christ. And so once we say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and work within me to will and to do of your good pleasure, that outwardly, because you are working inwardly, I may work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. That's how the verse reads, right? So work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? According to your own works? No. According to the reality, the next verse says, that Christ is working within you to will and to do of his good pleasure. The only way that obedience can come out is if righteousness or he who is righteous is at work within by the Holy Spirit. And so as this now happens, this is why I said the first thing on the list is to look to Christ, to understand this message of righteousness by faith, what it means to be saved, and to lead others in the step to salvation. But then the next thing is, the very next place I look at is not the world, but the church's relation to Jesus, relationship to Jesus. Hence, John points out in Revelation chapter 3, Jesus speaking to John points out the condition of the Laodicean church, that while it may think it's all right, that it has major issues and it needs to receive the gold tried in the fire. That is faith, tried and tested and developed. And white raiment, that's righteousness. But how can they receive that righteousness when they receive the eye salve? Because what does the eye salve do? It causes us to see our condition clearly. So we see our condition, we see that, whoa, our righteousness are as filthy rags. But now that we can see, we lay hold of Jesus Christ who is our righteousness. But how do we lay hold of that white raiment? By faith. A faith that is tried through the hardships of life, through circumstances that don't go the way that we want them, testing our patience, and developing our characters to trust in Jesus, even when the situation looks grim, when it looks like it's going to be destroyed, when it looks like our hopes are going to be dashed, can we trust in him then? And so friends, as this kind of thing happens and this experience is gained by the church, as it buys the gold tried in the fire, as it wears the white raiment, receives it, and it takes the eye salve to help us to see our true condition, then, friends, a fire will go forth into the world, throughout the church, and then overflowing into the world, that friends will, that it will cause God to then allow things to go forward on the enemy's side. But the reason that God is holding this back through angelic intelligences is because the church, who thinks it's ready, is not ready. This is why it's very powerful, because our cry, contrary to popular opinion, should not be, Lord, let the Sunday Lord come. I just want to go home. I'm tired. I just want to go home. Man, these people, these crazy atheists and homosexuals, they're going crazy. And man, they're polluting our world. Father, I want to go home. All this shooting and killing. I just want to go home. Friends, while on one side, that may be there, and we should want to go home, our ultimate cry should be, what? Lord, hold the four winds. Because you see, this thing is not just about you and I. It's about the salvation of people in these different communities that we may see, whoa, is corrupting the world, or quote-unquote corrupting the United States. Do you desire the salvation, as I've been mentioning for a few weeks, of your LGBTQ brethren? Do you desire the salvation of your family and friends? Do you desire the salvation of the criminals and the drug dealers and the broken around you? That was Christ's desire. He wasn't thinking of himself. He wasn't thinking, Father, I'm tired. I don't want to, man, this world is so corrupt, as if that corruption has not tainted us as well. Friends, our work must be to cry out, not let the Sunday law come. Please let it come. Our cry must be, Lord, hold that thing back. That the message of salvation will go forth to the world, because there's people who don't know the things that you've been teaching me, Father. There's people who don't know this message. And help me to do it in patience, knowing that many are going through hardships. Many are going through situations where they are afraid. Many are going through situations where they are afraid because they don't know what tomorrow holds. God says, cry out before winds may be held in check. Friends, as this now happens, then the next place I'm looking, after Jesus, then to the Laodicean condition and remedying that in receiving the righteousness of Christ by faith and having an understanding of my true condition, then the next place I'm looking at, after examining myself as a person within the church, the next place to is not the papacy, as I mentioned before, but to apostate Protestantism in America. Because once the revival was happening in America, the message of righteousness by faith was going forth, even while Senator Blair's Sunday Law Bill was pushing its way through. But inspiration tells us that Ellen White knew that there were many leaders who were rejecting this message of righteousness by faith. They knew the prophecies. They knew that a Sunday Law was coming, as she pointed out earlier. But they did not have the righteousness by faith experience. And they weren't ready as a result. That's crazy, right? History tells us that Uriah Smith, the leading by the 1880s, he was the leading scholar on Revelation, knowing the prophecies, breaking them down, understanding the ways in which this thing could happen. These pioneers, many of them were looking at the news, keeping up with what was happening and reporting on it and saying, this thing is about to go down. But friends, do you also know that Uriah Smith, for a long time, until time had finally passed, for a long time, friends, he rejected the messages of Jones and Wagner, who were bringing the message of righteousness by faith. And as a result of him rejecting it, many other leaders, including the General Conference president during that time, G.I. Butler, also rejected the experience that was necessary to reach the world and to go through the time of trouble. God, seeing this, said, even though we may be right at the precipice of a Sunday Law being passed, I'm going to pull it back. Because these men, not only are they not ready, while knowing all the prophetic timeline, these men are not only are they not ready, but because they are the leaders, many are following them. As I mentioned, Uriah Smith was the leading scholar of the church in that time. And so as he rejected the message and the experience needed, many other people, without even giving Jones and Wagner an opportunity to speak, rejected their message, rejected the message that God was giving through them. And so the result was, now they were on the verge of a Sunday Law, but the people were not ready. The people not being ready means the gospel wasn't going out as it should have been. God says, whoa, the world is not ready because my church is not ready. I can't let this thing go forward, because millions upon millions will be lost. And God is not willing that any should perish. But that all should come to understanding of the gospel and as a result of salvation. Friends, they were much closer to a Sunday Law being passed than we are even today. Since that time, friends, there's been no other time like it. We're talking about game over. We weren't even as close as they were. Friends, this thing was right on the verge of happening. God saw that his people weren't ready. And so apostate Protestantism he wouldn't allow apostate Protestantism to go forth and do what it wanted in working in harmony with Senator Blair. And then he would not allow what happens after that, which is that the power of the state, civil power being given over by the United States, Protestantism in the United States given over to the papacy. He would not allow the prophetic layout to be fully executed. Why? Because the experience needed of righteousness by faith that would bring us to the point of being ready to meet the final warfare, he knew that experience was not there. Continuing, history actually tells us that people were pushing, and this is also why I say this is written in Testimonies for the Church, Volume 5, page 711 and 753. This is why I say to people many times, we have to be careful about our statements against people. I hear many among present truth, they don't have facts about people being in secret societies or people being Jesuits or people being in part of the Illuminati. But friends, they're making videos, writing articles, people being in the Illuminati about, oh, this person did this? He must be a part of the Freemasons. This person did this? He must be a part of the Jesuits, without any clear, solid evidence. That's scary, friends. Because think about it. If I were to do something like that, right? To tell you how messed up this thing is, if the tables were flipped on me, and I know in and of myself, never been part of these groups, but I may have gone to a secular, let's say I went to a secular institution, and that secular institution was, university in Maryland. I want to get this. Let me get this because this is one of the examples of that. So I can mention it to you all. This is something I've heard. Give me one second. I want to bring this up because it's so crucial. I've been hearing people speak about this, and I'm like, whoa, this thing is really messed up, man. It is the George Mason University, right? Or sometimes you hear of, I believe it's American Catholic University. I've had friends actually go, American University, actually, in Washington, D.C. So you have George Mason University, you have American University. One is a Catholic institution, and then the other, Catholic institution that offers classes on law to help one to become a lawyer, or you have George Mason University, and many people are like, whoa. So here's the scenario, right? A professor or a person who maybe they became a pastor and they're influencing people, and then you hear an article comes out by an organization, by one of our ministries. And it's not even our ministries. I don't think it even rightly represents the Seventh-day Adventist Church and the organization. But they come out and they bring out an article because they want to be on top of all the latest news about the Freemasons and the Illuminati and the Jesuits. And so they're examining people, and they find out that, whoa, this pastor, he studied at American University. Therefore, he must be a Jesuit. Friends, listen to that. Do you hear how crazy that sounds? Yet I tell you the truth, there are many Adventist ministries who are harping this kind of rubbish. Now think about it. If the tables were turned on the individuals writing this article and stuff was said about them that was not true, but it spreads like wildfire, how do you think that person would feel? Knowing the information wasn't true, it's crazy because what is happening within the church is that because people are becoming so zealous and it's not regulated by divine grace, they begin to cause unnecessary division by stating things about people that are not true. And if the tables were turned on them, they would be just as furious if they heard that these rumors were being spread about them. And that's what many present truth ministries are founded upon. Rumors. Every article, every video, they don't have proof of what they are saying. But the majority of the article is their opinion. Rather than giving the facts, they jump to assumptions. Guilty by association. You went here, therefore this means, this means you must be this. Friends, may we be careful of that, that in our zeal to communicate the truth, we do not communicate a lie. The reason I say this is because usually we assume whether a person is part of the Catholic Church or even if they're high up in the Catholic Church, and I'm not saying that there are people who may be high up in apostate Protestantism or high up in the Catholic Church that don't know the ins and outs and knows what they're doing. But friends, if you're going to accuse someone of something, make sure you have the evidence. Don't do guesswork. Make sure you have the evidence. Make sure you even called and spoke to that person if you could, and make sure that the facts, that the things that you're going to state it's clear. The reason I'm stating this is because while there may be many in the higher-ups who know what they're doing, there are many who don't. We actually read in history that when the Sunday Law Initiative was being trying to be pushed and passed in Senator Blair's time, that we are actually told, contrary to popular opinion, the subtitle of what I'm about to read to you is, this is Last Day Events, 125, the subtitle states, Sunday Law Advocates Do Not Realize What They Are Doing. So you see, contrary to popular opinion and sensationalism, many of these people who sometimes want to initiate movements that we know are part of the prophetic truth, many of these people don't know that they're even pushing something that can destroy the fabric of the separation of church and state. So I'm going to read the statement to you. It says, the Sunday movement is now making its way in darkness. That's the idea in secret, right? The leaders are concealing the true issue, and many, so in other words, she's acknowledging that there are people who know what they're trying to do. She says, the leaders are concealing the true issue, and many who unite in the movement, here it is, do not themselves see whither the undercurrent is tending, where it's going. They are working, here it is, in blindness. They do not see that if a Protestant government sacrifices the principles that have made them a free, independent nation, and through legislation brings into the Constitution principles that will propagate papal falsehoods and papal delusions, they are plunging into the Roman horrors of the Dark Ages. Do you see that? So there are people that do know. There are leaders that do know, but there are also leaders who are uniting with these leaders who don't know. That's why we should be very careful that we lay before the people the principles that they can know when prophecy is being fulfilled. But we must be very careful about calling out people and individuals unless the evidence is clear. You see, John the Baptist could call out Herod because about marrying his brother Philip's wife, about taking her. He could call that issue out. Why? Because he had the evidence. The evidence was clear. It was well known that he had done this. It wasn't any hearsay or theirsay. It wasn't about rumors. It was very clear. We are told in Desire of Ages that John the Baptist was a keen observer of the times. He, yes, operated in solitary places, trained himself, but she said he would not always remain in solitude. He would come out from the wilderness and at times interact with the people of society, and he would be aware and keep abreast of the things that were happening. And so it was very well known what Herod had done. And so when he called out Herod, called out the soldiers for their violence, friends, it was clear. The evidence was there. There was no guesswork. And I pray that we would do that. As those of us who believe in present truth, that we will be very careful to do that. Because when this Sunday Law issue comes again, may we not make the same mistakes. May we learn from the writings of inspiration, which tells us not everyone knows. Even many among the leaders don't necessarily know what this thing is going to lead to, what their errors in seeking to pass the Sunday Law will lead to. So when these things happen, unless we have the evidence, friends, our work is just to point out the truth of what the Bible says, that a Sunday Law is coming and how it will come, and then we look out for the evidence of that, whether it be in governmental systems or in Christianity, to look out for those things. Continuing, it says, there are many even of those engaged in this movement for Sunday enforcement who are blinded to the results which will follow this action. They do not see that they are striking directly against religious liberty. That's why we have to be very kind and we have to be very wise and tactful, not wild in our words, but tactful when seeking to reach these groups of people. Because according to inspiration, many of them do not know. There are many who have never understood the claims of the Bible Sabbath and the false foundation upon which the Sunday institution rests. Those who are making an effort to change the Constitution and secure a law enforcing Sunday observance little realize what will be the result. And what is it, she says? What will be the result? A crisis is just upon us. So she was seeing that this was happening. But she warned. She said, we must be careful. She says, because many of them do not know. Friends, in the end of time, whether it be people within the Catholic Church, whether it be some of the leaders, whether it be some of the leaders in apostate Protestantism, friends, we must be very careful in how we address the subject. Because many of them, even though they may be fighting for a cause, even though many of them may say, hey, we got to destroy the separation of church and state, as I pointed out within the past 2 weeks, especially with the article I showed 2 weeks ago, we must point out those things because we know the prophetic language, but we must also be careful that we don't overreach and say, whoa, this person's trying to pass this. Man, it must be because they're part of the Jesuits. For Pope Francis, we do know that. We do know that this man, his line is of the Jesuit order. That is clear. But friends, don't cast upon the whole Catholic Church that everyone who seeks to unite with this agenda automatically is a Jesuit or is a Freemason. Friends, have the evidence and the facts before. Let us have the evidence and the facts before we say something like that. Before we call out individuals, we are even warned in Inspiration about calling out governmental authorities. Because why? There may come a time when we have to speak to these people about the gospel. And will they listen if when they go on YouTube, they saw you bashing them continually and saying stuff you didn't know about them? Of course they're not going to listen. That's why we have to be careful and wise. Unless we have the evidence, don't go there. Point out what's happening, how it's related to Bible prophecy. And friends, this will come. Protestantism, once the church is given that demonstration and they entered into the righteousness by faith experience, Protestantism will rise again. Now, what are we to do when this happens? And I'll read a few more statements. And then next time, we'll come back to Revelation 13, verses 14 onward. Now, what are we to do when we see this thing happening? Because Revelation 13 says, this will come about. How will this come about? Last time we learned, it will come about as a result of a revival in Christianity. The revival in Christianity comes because of signs and wonders the devil does within these fallen churches. And then because of that kind of power, the church will want to have more impact. And because the world is seeing this, this miracle, this working of miracles within the church thinking it then has power, will lay hold and said, you know what? God is with us in our agenda. And what is their agenda? Their agenda is to unite with the state and to control the state and have the initiatives, religious initiatives that it is creating to be passed and legislated through the civil powers of the United States. And what does that mean? When that time comes, what does that mean has happened? Friends, the separation of church and state is gone. Church and state has united. Now, what will we do at that time? What is our duty at that time? You see, many mistook the situation with COVID for that. But friends, we're learning based on history what a test run looks like. A test run looks like apostate Christianity trying to control the state to get its religious agenda passed. Did that happen during the COVID crisis? No. As a matter of fact, many of these Christians, as we found out, we were just studying the Christian right the other day, even while, yes, we can argue whether this aspect of liberty was threatened, friends, as it concerns the religious liberty that Ellen White talks about and the Bible talks about, it is a matter of Sunday legislation. And so when we look back, you know what we see? We see actually during these past 2.5 to 3 years, we see Christianity many times, as we saw in the article, over the COVID crisis, by the way, because they went extreme. Did you see what the Christians tried to do? The Christian right actually tried in their rallies, and in their rallies, get this, against mandates. As we read in the article, did you see what they tried to do? Do you remember what they tried to do? Some of the ministers and the religious leaders and the government leaders who united with them, they were saying that this concept of the separation of church and state was a lie. That's why we have to be careful. That's why I was telling some of my friends, be careful with this COVID situation, that you don't go radical, that you don't end up adopting the prophetic narrative of apostate Christianity in trying to fight against these mandates. Hey, if you believe that this is a liberty issue, okay, you do what you want to do, but be careful that you don't change this into a Sunday law issue. Because friends, do you know what's happening now? Now it's dying down. Now it's dying down, and we're at the same place. Because I remember when this thing was happening, many people were like, yo, this is over. This is it. This is it. And I remember telling them, friends, this is not it. This very issue will die down. And another plague will come. Another pestilence will come, as Jesus prophesied. Many more are coming. And friends, it will play a part in Christianity saying these things are happening because the morals in society are going down. But I said, friends, there are many more of these things to come according to Jesus. I said, guys, be careful. Don't jump on this evangelical bandwagon. We have a more sure word of prophecy. But friends, when this thing actually happens, when it really happens, and a Sunday issue is on this, is right there, when we start seeing, whoa, Christianity, which in this case, in this situation over the past 3 years, was totally anti-government rather than trying to unite with the government. If you notice that, go back to when this COVID crisis began and look at the Christian right, which was the predominant aspect of Christianity during this time. Them and study them, and you will see that they were against the government, totally anti-government. They didn't want to unite church and state. They actually hated the state. But friends, what we're looking at in Bible prophecy here is a time when the church unites with the state. That means they would end up, in a spiritual sense, in a fornication relationship, as the Bible calls it. They will unite with the state and through the state, as we read in the article 2 weeks ago, try to bring forth its political agenda. That, when we see that, friends, that's when we're looking at a test run. Now, what are we to do in that time? I'll read two statements and we'll end. It states here, the Review and Herald Extra, December 11, 1888. This is what she said as she saw the Sunday crisis potentially going forward with Senator Blair's Sunday law bill. She knew that God's people weren't ready. And she says, hey, our work is not to say, hey, just let it come. She says, our work is to cry out that God will give us more time to spread the gospel. So what does she say we must do? What they did in that time and what we must do when this thing comes up again. She said, it is our duty, all in our power, to avert the threatened danger, not of the government only, but because they saw Christianity trying to work through the government. She says we must avert this threatened danger. A vast responsibility is devolving upon men and women of prayer throughout the land to petition that God, let the Sunday law come and let's go home. No, she doesn't say that. A vast responsibility is devolving upon men and women of prayer throughout the land to petition that God may sweep back this cloud of evil and give a few more years of grace to work for the master. Oh, you see how her heart was reaching out for souls? She wasn't thinking about herself. Those who are now keeping the commandments of God need to bestir themselves that they may obtain the special help which God alone can give them. They should work more earnestly to delay, oh, look at this, to delay as long as possible the threatened calamity, written in 1888. Continuing, let not the commandment-keeping people of God be silent at this time, as though we gracefully accepted the situation, which many were doing in this realm of sensationalism. It says, we are not doing the will of God if we sit in quiet, doing nothing to preserve liberty of conscience. Do you see that? So this is where, yeah, my brethren and I, we were arguing over the situation over the past 3 years because they felt that their conscience was being threatened. But one of the things that I asked them, I said, okay, if you feel that way, then do as you feel led to do. But I said, remember, this is not the liberty of conscience issue that Testimonies for the Church, Volume 5, is talking about. This is not the liberty of conscience issue that Great Controversy covers. The liberty of conscience issue, when you read Liberty of Conscience, friends, in Great Controversy, you see what the issue really was. It was the issue of a national Sunday law, of church and state uniting. That's the liberty of conscience issue she talks about. She says, we are not doing the will of God if we sit in quietude, doing nothing to preserve liberty of conscience. Fervent, effectual prayer should be ascending to heaven that this calamity, what is this calamity? Church and state uniting to pass a Sunday law may be deferred until we can accomplish the work which has so long been neglected. Let there be most earnest prayer, and then let us work in harmony with our prayers. There are many who are at ease, who are, as it were, asleep. They say if prophecy has foretold the enforcement of a Sunday law, the law will surely be enacted. And having come to this conclusion, they sit down in a calm expectation of the event, comforting themselves with the thought that God will protect his people in the day of trouble. But God will not save us if we make no effort to do the work he has committed to our charge. Friends, as we end, my prayer for us is that I pray that we do know, and if we don't, may God help us to understand the more sure word of prophecy and the prophetic narrative. I pray for our churches, and I pray for myself, because I know how easily I can be led astray. I may be telling you this right now and be tested at the next moment. My prayer for each and every one of us is that we will remain true to what has been revealed, that we will not align ourselves with the Babylonian prophetic narrative, but to the unique prophetic narrative that we have been given. This is my prayer for us, friends, as we close. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray that these things make sense. I know that this is a touchy subject, O Lord, because many have different views about it. But Father, we have a more sure word of prophecy, where we do well to take heed unto, for it shines as a light in a dark place. Father, guide us with this light, Lord. And I speak concerning this as one who needs to be guided myself. Guide me and help me, Lord, and help each and every one of us in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Akeem, for bringing us the word tonight. And I tell you, I had asked the brothers and sisters if they had any question to take themselves off the host queue, and they can ask questions, but I see everybody hand up, and I don't know if anyone has taken themselves off and pressed one. So, brothers and sisters, I can't see who want to ask the questions because so many hands up already. So we're just going to go. We're just going to, if I'm going to ask again, if there's anyone that have a question, you can take your hand off the host queue and press one again. Okay, I see one. Amen. So let us open this line. It's 240-988. We're going to open your line.
Hi.
Amen.
Good evening.
Amen.
Amen. How do you do? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Sister Stephanie.
Okay. Hi, how are you doing? I came on a little late. I just wanted to ask, because I think I came on the tail end, and I wanted to ask about the liberty of liberty of conscience. I think that's what I, was kind of like
yes.
The story that I heard. Is one's liberty of conscience only attributed to the Sunday law? Or, I mean, I guess I was a little bit confused in that because I heard the liberty of conscience being repeated, and it's tied to what the what Ellen G. White states about, you know, the liberty of conscience. I just need to see if I could get some clarity. Is one's liberty of conscience only attributed to the Sunday law, as how, you know, she stated it? And yeah, I think I was a little bit confused, but as I said, I came on a little late to the, you know, but I wanted to get some clarity on that as it pertains to one's liberty of conscience and as it connects to the Sunday law and the church and state. The church and state united.
Okay, powerful question. Powerful question. So one of the things that I said to my brothers, and sisters in the church during the past 3 years was that liberty of conscience can be connected to many different issues, right? Concerning what we sense may be an infringement on our liberties, right? So hence I told some of my friends, hey, while I may see the situation that has happened with COVID in the past few years, I did not see it as a liberty conscience issue. My friends did. A lot of my friends did, whether it be on social media or in person. And I said, okay, hey, I respect that. And if you see it as that, and many people saw it as that, especially as it concerned their jobs, especially as it concerns them having a job, being able to work and having to be tested, and along with the mandates and them saying, hey, you gotta have the vaccine. And many people saw that. They were like, man, that's an overreach. Many said that. And so while I may have disagreed with that, because I've looked at aspects of the Constitution, connected with other people who have actually studied the Constitution, and they showed that the Constitution, which inspiration calls us to truly value, because this is what will be attacked at the end. Once the Constitution is destroyed, which is coming according to the Bible and the Spirit of Prophecy, then we'll be really in a bad place. We'll be back in the Dark Ages. But that Constitution also shows us that there are times, while there are times in which the people have the right to defend themselves against what they may view as tyranny, that many people don't know that there's also times within the laws of the United States for the government in crisis to seek to guide the people. And that's something that many don't touch on, which is an aspect of our Constitution. And so I told my friends, hey, if you see this as a liberty of conscience issue, that's fine. But here's where I had the issue. The reason I had the issue with them and challenged them was because they were saying, this is it. This is a test run. This is what the great controversy, this is what Revelation 13 talked about. And they were saying, you see how the government is trying to control us? And so once they were saying that, I said, well, hey, hold on now. You may believe that this is a liberty of conscience issue for you because you may not want to take the vaccine. And hey, even though I'm on a different side when it comes to the vaccine, I respect your perspective. But don't change the prophetic narrative now to fit your view. Because the prophetic narrative tells us what the main liberty of conscience issue and how what will be and how it will go down. And how it will go down, contrary to what evangelical Christians are saying. And what are they saying? They're saying, hey, you see what the government is doing with these things, man, over these past 3 years? This is it. We told you secularism and the government is going to take over. This is what we said would happen in prophecy. And you find many Seventh-day Adventists begin to adopt that. However, what do we believe? what does the Bible and the Spirit of Prophecy actually teach? It teaches that the real liberty on conscience issue will go down when apostate Protestant America will seek to guide the government. And did that happen within the past 3 years? In order to pass to obliterate the Constitution, obliterate the dividing line between church and state to pass the Sunday law? That's not what happened.
No.
And so that's why I said to them, no, right? So that's why I said to them, be careful. You, okay, you believe this is a liberty of conscience issue? Fine. But don't then come and change the prophetic narrative and say, oh, yo, this, because I've heard pastors, I've heard ministers, I've heard ministries saying, it's game over, it's a wrap, guys, it's about to go down. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, where's the, and the major point, the major figure they're pointing out is the government and the Pope. Nowhere in there is there anything mentioned about Christianity in the United States, about apostate Protestantism in the United States. And as I mentioned, the only way that the papacy rises to the power that it had during the Dark Ages, and even more power than that, is when apostate Christianity takes control of the civil power and renders the civil power to the papacy. Now, when that happens, that's the liberty of conscience issue, that great controversy, and the Bible in Revelation 13 are talking about. What we saw in the past 3 years, many may believe that that was a liberty of conscience issue, and I respect that. But that's not what great controversy was talking about. And so while I said, hey, I respect your right to stand, to defend yourself, and to say, hey, I want to work here, and I should have the right to work here, even if I don't take the vaccine. And even in that area, we were divided, because I was looking at some of my friends and I was like, okay, you won't take the vaccine, fine. But friends, they were going even beyond that. They were saying, they saw not only that as a liberty of conscience issue, but then they went on to say, hey, I'm not going to get tested daily. So they weren't even willing to come to a healthy negotiation with the places in which they worked at. I saw people working in hospitals and they said, you know what? I don't care. Based on what they were listening to, they were like, I don't care. Despite the fact that Jesus says that plagues and pestilences will come in the end time. When this thing happened, they said, I don't care what people tell me. I'm not going to get a vaccine. Okay, fine. But then they went on to say, I'm not going to get tested daily to make sure I'm okay so that I don't mess others up. And then they said, I'm not going to wear a mask because that's a religious liberty issue as well. And I was like, wait, hold on. Hold on now. Don't go that level. I was like, okay, you don't want to take a vaccine? Fine. That's your right. But don't then say, when Jesus says pestilences will come in the end, to call this COVID thing a sham. Friends, we are told in great controversy that Satan, as the end approaches, he will breathe a deadly taint into the air, and thousands will die by it. And Ellen White then says, because some people say, well, how do you know that wasn't back then with the Spanish flu? She then says, she goes on to say, and this will become more common as we approach the end. That's how we know what Jesus says was true. Friends, when they're telling you that many are dying by this disease, this is not a sham. So if you don't want to take this thing, fine. If you believe there's stuff in it that you don't want to infect your body, fine. But at least respect that Jesus says that there will be pestilences. This is not some conspiracy theory. When you have church members that are losing family because they got this thing, when you have church members who say, hey, I'm not going to take any precautions, and they go home and they give it to their dad, and their dad ends up on the ventilator about to die, and by God's grace recovers, that's when it finally hits home that this is not a game. But this is what I mean by liberty of conscience issue. I agree. that liberty of conscience is not only about a Sunday law and the papacy and the annihilation of church and state. It covers any issue where we feel that our rights are being trampled on. And in this COVID situation, that could have happened. But it is not the religious liberty issue that Ellen White and the Bible talk about. Hope that answers the question. I went the long route, but I hope that answers the question.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, I'm understanding, brother, because I see what you have shared with us. And, you know, I learned this from Alabama. I noticed a lot of people said they wasn't going to accept the shot, and they said they wasn't wearing a mask. And you know what? I know that the liberty of conscience, it wasn't taken away, because we still have our liberty. We still can say, I can go get another job even if they fire me. Is that right? Or I can do this, I can do that. But the main thing, you know, after you've been on a job, you know, when people think about, I've been on that job for 15, 20 years, and then they're going to fire me for just not getting a shot. Well, you see, they see that their liberty of conscience been taken, but that's not it.
Yes.
And as I understand you, when that Sunday law, when that the United States Protestant give over to the papacy, and it becomes as the papacy hand over to the Pope, all right, well, then we're going to have the problem. We won't have to, we won't have yes or no, a yay or nay. We're going to have to do what they say. And that's when everything is taken from us. But right now, brother, I believe that I can even go to court, because here in Louisiana, I'm going to say this right quick, brothers and sisters, here in Louisiana, they put up these little radars all over the place, and I got quite a few tickets. So this lawyer had went to court and said, people, no, we fighting against this. And don't you know, I didn't pay not one. They didn't put that on my record, because you know what? They know that people had the right, because when one car, when cars are passing these things, this thing is kind of taken by different cars. So they can't make me pay a ticket that another car could have been at fault, two horses. So my point is that I can go and fight this thing. They can't tell me no. And don't you know people are paying tickets to these little things, because they still set up in Louisiana to take a picture and send you a ticket, because I got it. And you know what? I did not pay it. 100 and they're asking me now, it's been going up to 150. You know what? It can stay there. I'm not paying it because it's been, it already been won. So we don't have to pay it. So I thank God for that. But Brother Akeem, I think we're going to close with that on that note. And brothers and sisters, I want to just say thank you for coming on to listen to this very important gospel that the Lord wants us to understand. And I pray for each and every one that you pray and ask the Lord how to handle your situation, because that was some very powerful information that we can bring home to ourselves earlier, sooner than what we, you know, than what we need to. But by God's grace, I hope he give me wisdom that I don't bring harm to myself or harm to Adventists, period. That we think while we, because like Brother Akeem was saying, there's so much we can bring harm to ourselves as Adventists. So, but we don't want to do that. Let's just pray and the Lord lead and guide us. So, Brother Akeem, thank you for this message. And thank you, brothers and sisters, for listening. And may God be with us and help us, lead us, and teach us. And when we have to be obedient, and when to say not to do it, or when to say to do it. So may God be our guide, and he help us in those times of trouble. Amen. So thank you once again, Brother Akeem, and thank you, brothers and sisters, for joining tonight. May God be with each and every one. And I say good night, my brothers and sisters. Have a blessed night. Amen.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child, and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. His child, and forever I am. Redeemed, and so having Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me does.